When I don't serve coffee and I don't collect mugs, I'm a research associate here at Loughborough University. And my current project is funded by CIPSI, which is the Chartered Institution of Building Services Engineers here in the UK. And I'm looking at meteorological data for climate-based daylight modeling. It's very much a work in progress, so I'm going to show just some preliminary results, and I welcome any feedback you got. Climate-based daylight modeling can be defined as an assessment of the luminous conditions within the built environment, say a classroom or any other space, that makes use of representative climate data that you can show as a temporal map like that, at hourly or sub-hourly, to recreate realistic sky luminous distributions at hourly or sub-hourly consecutive steps, usually for a full year, by means of physically accurate lighting simulation tools that, for us, of course, is Radiance. And in my current analysis, I'm focusing on representative climate data. So what we use for building simulation would be an energy plus weather format data most often. So it comes as a CSV file, so you have a lot of different environmental parameters that you insert in any like building simulation software. And for daylight more specifically, we usually look at irradiance and illuminance. So the EPW format comes with global horizontal, direct, normal, diffuse horizontal irradiance, and the same for illuminance. Now, for UK, we have two main sources of EPW data, climate files for simulation. And they are the CIPSI file, which I'm most interested in, but also very common are IBRT file, which were developed by ASHRAE and are freely available from the Energy Plus website. So it would be TMY in the US, but it's IWEC for the rest of the world. So they are international weather locations developed by ASHRAE. And there are a lot of other sources you can use, especially now satellite data is it's becoming more and more common, but it's more often provided by private companies. So I'm not looking for my specific project. I'm not looking at any satellite data, but the concept is kind of similar. So when we are using irradiance or illuminance, we are never using, apart from the fact that we are using standard years, so it's a representative years, it's been post-processed to filter out only average condition. But apart from that, there are also a lot of other models piled up to get our irradiance and our illuminance data. They pretty much always the only actual measurement that is done is cloud cover, and then from cloud cover and solar geometry, or maybe for more complex models, there is also temperature, dew point temperature as well. So from those parameters, you apply a solar radiation model to derive the irradiance data, and from those irradiance data, you derive the illuminance through a luminous efficacy model, usually Perez. I should say that not that many people use illuminance data from these files. Actually, both Ranjit and myself, looking at different sources, whenever we looked at illuminance, there were some huge errors that no one realized just because no one used them. I guess that's just a supposition that it would be strange if no one realized they were really huge. And so, yeah, that's because the Paris model is usually embedded directly in the software, in the building simulation software. So you just input irradiance data, and then they are converted into illuminance, and then into luminance distributions if you need them for daylighting. So what I'm doing now is looking at this, analyzing these models, and see how the uncertainty that they introduce in the deriving the data we need is reflected into the climate-based daylight modeling results. So just to mention something more about cloud cover, which, as I said, is the only thing we have directly measured from in these files. It's a quite crude measurement. It's in octas, so eight numbers describing like a clear sky with zero and an overcast sky with eight. And for the UK Met Office, I don't know if that's an international standard, but the UK use 9 for other meteorological conditions, so like fog or pollution or anything else. And these are all like integer rounded numbers. So this is how cloud cover is described. And traditionally, it was measured with human observer. So some guy would go every hour, I guess, outside and look at the sky. And they were trained to to determine how, from 0 to 8, how the sky looked like. And more recently, from 2006, more or less, in the UK, the human observers have been gradually replaced with cloud-based height meters or ceilometers or something like that. And because they are trying to automate all weather stations around UK. So this is how they measure cloud cover in many of them. Some of them still have human observer, but only in working time hours. And some studies, interestingly, found that these ceilometers, they are less accurate than human observer. So it's quite a crude type of measure of cloud cover. And the ceilometer tend to overpredict a clear sky condition and overcast condition, while they underpredict everything in between. So we have a lot of uncertainty deriving everything from cloud cover, from the measurement itself and the models that we then apply on that. And so looking, I wanted to compare the derived data for a full year with measured data. So in the UK, we have two locations where we have BSRN station, baseline surface radiation network, that are a high research grade station that records global horizontal and direct normal irradiance. And so I use the data from those stations and compare them with derived cloud cover data using the same model, the same solar radiation model that is currently implemented in CFC files. And some of the correlations I've got were okay for global horizontal irradiance and diffuse horizontal irradiance, but the direct normal irradiance is quite off, mainly because it's a very simple model that takes this 8 octas cloud cover measurement, and you can see how this results in 8 or 7 like plateaus. So yeah, this leads to crazy errors and bias and RMSE. And yeah, after that, I also looked at the luminous efficacy model for the same stations. And again, once deriving everything from cloud cover and once using measured data. This time, the agency where I found the measure data was a different one. It wasn't the BSRN anymore. Public Health England is measuring illuminance in 9 different locations in the UK, which I found very interesting, but they said no one is using them again. But they're there, and the quality is not bad. I run a lot of quality control algorithms recently. And they started in 2013, and they are like collecting more and more data. So it's going to be an interesting data set, I think, to look at. It's only global horizontal, though. They don't have direct and diffuse components. And in this case, yeah, looking only at the global, it's okay. It's same as for global irradiance, but the Paris model itself doesn't introduce any more significant error. That part is relatively fine. I repeated this kind of comparison with the data we are collecting here at Loughborough, just because we also have direct and diffuse illuminance data collected by these Delta T devices that John mentioned before, and they're not research grade instruments like for the Lerwick and Camborne location, but they're pretty robust because they don't have movable parts. They record. They have this shading mask that allows the separation of global, diffuse, and direct component. So again, on top is irradiance, global, direct, and diffuse, and at the bottom is illuminance and the effect that deriving everything from cloud cover with a simple model is quite noticeable. And so going farther from here, I haven't done that yet, but what I would like to look is at is Met Office actual irradiation data. So the Met Office is actually recording global horizontal irradiance in many locations around the UK. They weren't used in standard climate files so far because sometimes they're not exactly in the same location as the other environmental parameter used in EPW file, so they preferred not to, they didn't have time to check how the things corresponded, and they just used what the model they knew. And but I think the coverage of the UK is quite good, and I would hope that just using a separation model like a maybe an ERBS model like it's already embedded in Radiance, or a Rindu model as it's in DAYSIM, I think, that would give us better, like smaller uncertainty than the solar radiation model. And the fact that some stations don't exactly compare, they're not exactly that close to other to stations that record other environmental parameter, it could be not that influential. I just create a little like interpolated map with all these Met Office stations and compare it with a quality comparison with the irradiance from satellites from GIS, and it looks like it could serve the purpose already. It would be better quality than interpolating cloud core anyway. And going even farther down the line, what I would like to see is a better integration overall of CBDM within the building performance simulation tools, like it was mentioned before, and that concerns also climate files and different climate analysis that are now more and more run within building performance simulation. And there are always 3 types of climate analysis, like typical climate for expected design performance, and then extreme climate condition for resilience analysis, and worst case scenario, that kind of thing. And for daylighting, I guess, well, would be always sunny condition. Doesn't sound so bad, but could be extreme. And future climate projection, with climate change adaptation and all that, we should check how the model applied to future climate projection are applied to the part that we are interested in, so the daylight irradiance and illuminance part. And yeah, with this I think enough small talk about weather. I saw you smiling. Why?
No, I was smiling in that case because it's related to my question. Do you think it's this is a problem all over Europe, or is it a particular situation in UK? For example, in Germany, we have the German weather station, and they record since 1990 direct and diffuse radiation. Ah. So this is available in, I don't know how many stations they have, but a lot.
Mm-hmm. And do you know?
I didn't know that this is a problem. It looked a little bit like 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Be the same in other countries as well. So it's interesting to see what is the basis to generate this EPUW files where we all relate to. So.
Yeah, definitely the Energy Plus Weather File, they use models for deriving everything from cloud cover. So the one that you find on Energy Plus website. So I don't have it all coded yet, but the model is more complex than the one they use in CFC for the CFC file. So it could be a bit better, but still what they use is cloud cover. And the same, I mean, for satellite, they're all like, models, because they start from pixel brightness and basically cloud cover. I don't know in Germany, but I mean, the IWEC files for Germany would be the same, I guess.
I don't know how the EPW files are generated, but we have the so-called test references, which is provided by this German weather authority,
okay.
And this was always used by, when I did consultancy, so
right.
Germany for
and that's compiled from actual radiation measurements.
Well, they also do like a 10 years average and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They actually provide also maximum years and so on.
Since they're not there yet.
Pat should mention it's a particularly big deal in the UK because of the compliance issues, because you could be submitting a design proposal for approval for a consortium school project of 250 million, and if it doesn't pass the daylight criteria, which are now climate based, it could fail. And it's a cliff edge criterion. Not ideal, but I think that's the way it is. So, you know, a small difference can be between pass and fail. So the integrity of the modern climate data is really paramount.
Although one could say, you know, good climate data could put you over the edge too.
Oh yeah, oh no, it's not about that.
I'm just wondering, because obviously in the direct normal illuminance, it showed huge variations because of the octet bands. But did it work on average? So, I mean, you might be really wrong for a particular point in time, but for another point in time, it might come quite different. Or do you not find that?
Haven't checked how this effect. The climate-based simulation, like the annual one, that could be that it averages out some part of it. Yeah, it could be, but still, even like the correlation, so like, wasn't great. Like, it was 70.
Yeah, was a pretty long plateau you were showing.
For your octet plots, I was surprised the R squareds were as high as they were. I mean, maybe it's a question of like where the points are clustered because they're on top of each other, you can't tell. But to have an R squared of like point, almost like 0.6 for me, it seems like with that level of spread, you wouldn't get that.
So it's still a bit of an increase, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, it's clearly correlated, but it just seemed like they're going across the whole graph bounds.
I have a question regarding getting the diffuse horizontal irradiance and the normal irradiance from the global horizontal irradiance.
Yeah.
So you have the equipment to get all these three, right? Have you checked how using the ERB model and also the
random
model, using this model generate data? What's the difference between the measured data and generated data?
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna look afterward.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm kind of very interested in that.
Right.
So directed normally is measured, it's not calculated?
It depends. They direct and diffuse. They're measured only in these two high-grade stations in Lerwick and at the two opposite of UK. And the rest, the UK Met Office, they measure only global radiation.
Yeah, lots of Met stations only have global or horizontal.
Yeah. Except for Germany,
in China,
yes.
You only have the global horizontal data.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do this. Great information, you have different and different models.
Yeah, I'll check the ERBS model first and the Rindl just because they are in radiance and they seem already. But then, yeah, there are a lot of separation models out there.
Okay, are we done?
I looked at the quality of EPW data a few years ago, where they exploit all the EPWs on the network and ran some scripts. And what I found is that the QA is really kind of, or at least was back then, lacking. So, for instance, in Spain, there were a few stations where you had like, so the irradiation was like shifted by 12 hours, so you had like sunlight in the middle of the night. And
yeah.
And there's lots of open energy plus website. So I would strongly recommend you all kind of look and scrutinize this data and plot, like, even if you plot like direct normal against diffuse or whatever, just plot Whitley curves and just stare at them for a while.
Yeah.
Very often you will find that put them in a really weird way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
They tell a lot more.
Yeah.
Okay, coffee break. Can we be back in 15 minutes?